What is this word Psychiana, which we hear mentioned so often these days? What does it mean? What does it stand for? If you are a new listener to this series of programs, I'd like to explain it to you. A few years ago, a man living in the little town of Moscow, Idaho, began to lose faith in the doctrines taught by Orthodox religious systems. He had followed the teachings of Orthodox religion ever since his childhood, and yet, for some reason, they did not seem to meet his needs, did not seem to mean anything to him, did not seem to have any direct bearing upon his daily life. So he began thinking and investigating. He discovered that many, yes, most of these Orthodox teachings were simply carryovers from ancient pagan religions. But more than that, he evolved a whole new conception of God, a religious philosophy which, instead of being meaningless dogma and borrowed beliefs, actually meant something, a philosophy by which a person could live and find happiness. He called that philosophy Psychiana. In a very short time, the news of it spread across the United States, into Canada, Mexico, and then on across the ocean, until now it is known in practically every civilized country in the world. Thousands upon thousands of thinking people have adopted it and have found that it works, that it produces practical, tangible, almost immediate results. The name of the man who evolved that philosophy is one which, without much doubt, you already know, for he is one of the most discussed figures in the world today. He is Dr. Frank Robinson. And in just a few moments, you are going to hear his voice, hear him in a discussion of his philosophy. And here is your guide, an old friend of Dr. Robinson's, who will take you for a visit to Dr. Robinson's home.
As we arrive at Dr. Robinson's home, we hear the strains of music from the pipe organ in his study, and we enter without knocking, for we know that music is an expression of welcome, know that Dr. Robinson is waiting for us. Please don't stop, Doctor. Finish the selection.
So serious. Didn't you like that number?
Oh, yes, indeed. I was just thinking. You know, Dr. Robinson, at our last meeting, we touched upon a subject which I'd like to continue.
Well, what subject was that?
Well, you stated that you differed with Orthodox religious systems, not primarily because they were based upon pagan beliefs and superstitions, but because these systems were meaningless, worthless, and couldn't be applied to our daily lives.
That's right. And because they make promises which they can't possibly keep.
What do you mean by that, Doctor?
I'll answer by asking you a few questions. To begin with, Orthodox religion asks you to believe certain doctrines, does it not?
Yes.
Now, even assuming that these doctrines were true, why should you believe them? What reason or incentive have you for believing them?
Well, according to the Bible and the advocates of Orthodox religion, if I don't believe and follow the precepts laid down, I'll be punished, doomed.
And, on the other hand, they tell you, do they not, if you do follow the teachings of Orthodox religion, you will be rewarded.
Yes, that is what they say.
Well, when will you be rewarded? Now? At once?
Oh, no, not till I die.
Well, just what is the nature of this reward which the church holds out to its followers after they die?
Why, that the faithful follower will, go to heaven, to paradise.
Yes, and that is what Orthodox religion promises. And that is the answer I wanted to get to my questions. Now let me ask you something else. What is heaven?
I'm afraid I can't answer that with very much accuracy, Doctor.
Well, you don't have to. The scriptures themselves answer it for you. In fact, heaven is defined in the very first chapter of Genesis, which says that on the second day, God created the firmament of heaven, dividing the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. In other words, a solid something which was, as Genesis 1:6 says, in the midst of the waters, to divide the waters from the waters. Now, does that mean anything to you?
No, not very much. In fact, I might say it means nothing at all.
Well, in spite of the fact that the definition is rather vague and sketchy, let's pass that point for a moment. Now, tell me where heaven is located.
I'm afraid I can't answer that either.
And I'm afraid you don't know your Bible. The location of heaven is set forth in any number of instances. For example, the scriptures state that it is so close to the earth that living people might, as it says in Amos 9:2, climb up to heaven. So close that, according to St. Paul, the departed soul flashes from earth to its heavenly home in the twinkling of an eye. So close that men on earth attempted to build a tower, the Tower of Babel, which would reach into it. So close that a ladder resting on earth actually did reach into heaven, and angels climbed up and down on it. So close that Dives in hell could look up into it and see Lazarus and carry on a conversation with him. So, according to the scriptures, heaven must be pretty close at hand. In fact, we should have no difficulty in reaching it in an airplane. Now, does all this explain its location to you?
I'll still have to say it doesn't.
Nor does it explain the location of heaven to anyone else. No telescope, no matter how powerful, has ever brought into vision its jasper walls, its golden streets and pearly gates. No delicate astronomical instruments have ever measured the distance between it and this earth, although science has measured other distances quite accurately. We know that the sun is 93 million miles away, that the planet Neptune is nearly 3 billion miles farther into space, that the star cluster known as NGC 6822 lies in such profound depths of space that the light from it reaches this Earth only after traveling through space for 1 million years. And yet, in plumbing these depths of space, depths so profound that they stagger the imagination, science has found no trace of the heaven which the scripture tells us is so close. What do you say to that?
Well, I'd say that the scriptures were wrong, obviously. That the scripture authorities, who told us where heaven was, didn't really know.
Well, do you think anyone knows?
No, I do not.
Do you think heaven, as it's described in the scriptures, really exists?
No, I don't see how anyone with any intelligence at all could possibly imagine that such a heaven exists.
Very well. Now, you say that Orthodox religion rewards the faithful in heaven, a place which neither the scriptural authorities nor anyone else have been able to describe with any accuracy, a place whose location is not known, a place which, by all the rules of reason, does not exist. If that is my reward for believing the doctrines of Orthodox religion, then I don't think I'm losing very much or taking very much of a chance by departing from these doctrines. What do you think?
Well, I think I'm beginning to see what you meant, Doctor, when you said that Orthodox religious systems are meaningless, worthless, and couldn't be applied to our daily lives.
Well, that is precisely the point I am making.
But is there anything, any belief, that can be applied to our daily lives?
There certainly is. Behind this universe of ours must be some force, some principle, some intelligence, and that principle is God. It doesn't dwell in a house of many mansions on the other side of the sky. It pervades the entire universe. It is here, in this room, right now. And once we have learned to understand it and put ourselves in accord with it, we do not have to wait until we die to derive benefits from it. We can secure those benefits every day and every second of the day.
Just what do you mean by putting ourselves in accord with it, Doctor?
Well, shall I simplify that statement with an example? Behind a railway system is a principle, a method. Trains leave certain points at certain times, bound for certain destinations. Unless you know that method and acted accordingly, you could not make use of that railroad. You would miss trains. You'd be carried to the wrong destination. You would not be able to take advantage of the service. Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yes, I do, and quite clearly.
Well, that's what I mean by putting ourselves in accord with this God law so we can take advantage of it in our daily lives.
And it's one of the most reasonable, intelligent explanations I have ever listened to. And now, if I may ask one more favor, will you play a number on the organ before it's time for me to go?
That's a favor I'll take a great deal of pleasure in granting. Are you going to select the number this time, or am I?
Well, I'll leave it to you, Doctor.
All right, now let's see. I think I'll play The World is Waiting for the Sunrise.
What do you think of Dr. Robinson's explanation of the God law? Doesn't it also appeal to you as being reasonable and intelligent? I'm sure it does. Then why not get the complete outline of Dr. Robinson's message? You may have it for the asking, without charge, without obligation. Simply write a letter or postcard to Dr. Robinson and say, "Send me the free outline of Psychiana." Dr. Robinson will mail it to you at once. Address your letter either care of the station to which you are listening or directly to Dr. Robinson, Moscow, Idaho. If you write to Moscow, Idaho, include in your address the words Radio Department. We return you now to your local announcer who will give you the date and time of Dr. Robinson's next broadcast.